From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In a moment, we'll hear from Dr. Alan Cairns as he brings the final portion of a message entitled Prayer God Answers, the first in a series of studies on an indispensable part of the Christian life, prayer. Many of God's people wonder if they ever succeed in getting through to God in prayer. Does the Bible give instructions about how to pray? How one can know if he is praying in the will of God? The answer is an unequivocal yes. In the course of these studies, Dr. Cairns will show from God's Word both the correct as well as the incorrect approach to God in prayer. Please stay tuned for the conclusion of this initial message in the series. First of all, Dr. Cairns reports today's hot topic, John Paul II on the fast track to sainthood. Too late to do him any good.
While Pope John Paul II lived, he could never have assurance of his salvation. That's the official dogma of the Church of Rome. Indeed, like every other Roman Catholic, he could never be absolutely sure that he had ever received any of the sacraments that Rome considers essential to the reception of grace. Was he baptized, confirmed, ordained, granted absolution? He thought so and hoped so, but according to his church, the validity of the sacrament could be negated by the lack of a proper intention on the part of the priest or bishop who administered it. Even worse, since his ordination depended on a bishop laying his hands on him, he had to trust not only that the bishop had a proper intention, but that the bishop who ordained him had a proper intention, and so on indefinitely. In other words, there was nothing certain about John Paul's religion. The best he could hope for when he was facing death was an indefinite time in purgatory. Now that he's dead, the Church of Rome has decided that he really wasn't the sinner he thought he was, that in fact he was a saint. Now, to Protestants, a saint is a person who has been saved by the grace of God and has been vitally united to Christ by faith. Not so in Roman Catholic thinking. To Rome's way of thinking, a saint is one of a small elite band of particularly holy people, people who were so holy in their lifetime that they accumulated all the merit they needed to enter heaven with enough left over for the church to distribute among less deserving cases. So, soon after John Paul died, there were moves to have him recognized as a saint. That process is nearing its completion. According to Monsignor Slawomir Oder, the Polish priest who's in charge of arguing John Paul's case for sainthood, John Paul will be beatified in the very near future. The late Pope is being fast-tracked by a church desperate to cash in on his worldwide popularity. Even in the grave, he will help keep Rome center stage in world news. Monsignor Oder said on a visit to the island of Ischia that he hoped the beatification would happen, quotes, by the spring of 2009, having already consigned the Positio. The Positio is a 2,000-page folder containing all the documents that allegedly testify to John Paul's holiness. It would be interesting to see if the Positio records the articles written by Piers Compton in The Broken Cross. Compton was a Roman Catholic journalist who edited Britain's leading Roman Catholic journal for many years, and he raised serious questions about the Pope's moral character and printed photographs that allegedly supported his skepticism about John Paul's behavior. I cannot comment on the validity of the journalist's arguments, but I can say that if the same questions had been raised about any Protestant leader, the world's press would have made sure they were widely distributed. At least there is a case to answer, and so far Rome has simply ignored the matter. Instead, she's declaring John Paul a saint, and will in due course regale us with a series of imagined or manufactured miracles to bolster her findings. It's all one big charade, and it's all too late to do John Paul the slightest bit of good. If he went into eternity depending on his works to get him into heaven, and the Catechism of the Catholic Church insists that's the only way to get in, he received a rude awakening. That's a sobering and tragic thought, one that ought to give every one of us cause to make sure that we have received by faith the imputed righteousness of Christ, the only real ground of justification and acceptance with God. Without that, even if Rome declares you a saint, you have nothing to commend you to God. So whatever Rome says or does now, it can do John Paul II no good at all.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We've been greatly encouraged by the response to these broadcasts. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak Quarterly Magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the subject of angels. In 5 articles, various ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church deal with such matters as what are angels, what is their ministry, as well as the topic of Satan and the fallen angels. Among other articles of interest in this issue, there is a focus on what the Lord is doing in the country of Peru. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that little word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and we invite you to join us on our website this week.
And often, and pray in secret. Withdraw from company and withdraw from distractions. As I've said, this is not a ban on public church prayer meetings. What happens in a prayer meeting is that the church gets into its closet, as it were. It's withdrawing from the company and the distractions of the world, in order that we should concentrate intensely upon the Lord. And that comes to the very heart of true prayer. And the man or the woman, whether they pretend to pray or not, the person who does not get alone with God to concentrate intensely upon the Lord is not praying. You may shut the door of the closet and bring the world inside the door with you. You may shut out the world physically and yet have such a worldly mind and a mind so worried about the things of life that you don't concentrate upon the Lord Himself. The physical aspect here is important, that you get into the closet, you shut the door. Nothing can take the place of that. The church prayer meeting can't take the place of your closet prayer meeting. The family altar cannot take the place of your closet prayer meeting. Husbands and wives should pray together and with their family. But the time you spend with your wife or your husband in prayer should not take the place of that closet time when you get alone with God and shutting out the world and the family and the business and everything else. You are intensely concentrating upon your God. Pray in secret. And as you do, aim to crucify the flesh. That's obvious here. Identify the hypocritical traits
identify the heathen characteristics that we all must admit are natural to the flesh. Identify the pride of flesh that would rise up to poison the very place of prayer. Identify it and confess it and crucify the flesh. Aim to crucify the flesh. And of course, aim from first to last to glorify God. To glorify the Lord. This is what the Lord Jesus is teaching us. These are His instructions on the matter of how to succeed in prayer. And He tells us one final thing. He assures us that we will be heard if we pray like this. Now, follow it carefully. He warns us to avoid certain things in prayer. He instructs us to cultivate certain other things in prayer. And now He assures us that if we pray like this, we will be heard. He emphasizes that God hears prayer and God answers prayer. The word He uses, He rewards those who pray. Think of it carefully and simply. We pray to our Father. We pray to our Father. And our Father knows what we need, even before we ask Him. He knows what we need, not just what we ask. Now, emphasize the words of the Savior here. He knows what we need, not just what we ask. Think of your own family situation. When you were a child, or if you have children now, we all know what it is for a child to feel a deep need, a tremendous desire. And he'll come to his father, and he'll spill it out before him, and he'll ask. And it is a crazy father who simply gives him everything that he asks. Because what he asks is not always what he needs. There are times when his asking is the result of defective understanding. Or because of a lack of maturity in his emotions or feelings. Or a lack of foresight. All these things enter into the foolish asking of a child. There are times what he asks for is the right thing. But to give it at that time would be the wrong time. And it is a wise father who knows what his child needs. But when the time comes, and the father sees the need and the time have come together, and he has the means to meet the need, what good father feels to give what his child needs? If ye being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good things to those who ask Him? Our Father knows what we need, and He will meet our needs. It's interesting that Jesus said our Father will reward us. What is that reward? In many ways, I think that prayer is its own reward, because it affords us fellowship with God. You know, we cannot but be the better for that. I don't think that I have ever known any blessing, any thrill, any joy, any uplifting of the inner man. I have never known anything in this whole world to compare to having met with God. To have that communion with God is to walk on air. Men and women, prayer in many ways is its own reward. But still Jesus says the Father will reward. The word reward means repay. Repay? Repay? Isn't that a strange word? He'll repay the time you put in prayer. He'll repay the sacrifices to get to the place of prayer. He'll repay the effort. He'll repay the pain. Because if you're going to crucify the flesh and glorify God, it hurts the flesh, but He'll repay you. The word reward also has the simple meaning of give. He'll give us what we need. It has the meaning also of restore. He will restore what we have lost. Isn't that one of the sweetest aspects of getting through to God in prayer? He restores our soul. He restores the years that the locusts have eaten. He restores the peace that we have lost through sin. He restores when we have backslidden in our hearts and we have lost out with God. Have you ever been to the place where you get so far from God, so cold in heart, that you feel your way deep down and there's no way that you can ever be brought up? The memory of sweet fellowship with God is a distant thing. The memory of having the Bible as a living book is a distant thing. The memory of public worship as a joy that would uplift your soul to the gates of heaven is a distant thing. And you feel like there's no way back. Jesus says, your Father in heaven will restore you through prayer. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and He is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. My dear friend, today, let me with all my heart try to impress upon you that it is not the will of God for a Christian to be going through life with the need of having his soul, his peace, his joy, his power, his usefulness restored, and that need never being met. That's not the will of God. Jesus said, pray to your Father which is in secret. Get alone with God. Get before God. Let the matter be settled in prayer. And He says, He will restore. He will reward. And there's one final thing that struck me as I was studying this. And I must say it thrilled my heart. By answering our prayers, the Lord acknowledges that we are His people, just as by making those prayers, we acknowledge He is our God. When we come to pray, we're acknowledging, Thou art God. When He answers, He is acknowledging, You are my children. He'll do it now, and He'll do it at the judgment seat. What a day that will be. When, and I think the idea of reward must bring us to the great day of rewards. When He says, you glorified me in secret, striving in prayer against sin and the flesh. You believed me and my word. You pleaded my promise. Now I openly acknowledge you before heaven, earth, and hell, and welcome you to the everlasting fruit of your labors in prayer. There's a lovely verse in Isaiah 3:10. Say ye to the righteous, it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Can you get a glimpse into heaven? Just imagine what the Bible tells you about that great throng, Revelation 7, that great throng around the throne. See there a father or a mother who for years went diligently into the secret place to lift up their children before their God. Look around that throng and see that son, that errant daughter, now meeting in glory around the throne. What
an eternal reward. What an eternal reward. Is there anything else we do on earth more potent for time and for eternity than to pray?
This is something no heathen and no hypocrite can gain by their praying.
They have their reward here and now, but it's empty and it's temporary. The reward of true prayer is in some sense eternal. I've spoken to you today from the depths of my heart, because I have first spoken every word of this sermon to me.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.